Once I hated this city, now it can't get me down. Slushy, humid, and gritty, what a pretty town. What thought I could be duller, more depressing, less gay? Now my favorite color is gray. A fall of rain as it turns to sleet. The lack of sun on a one-way street. I love the grime all the time. And what more do I need? My window pane has a lovely view. An inch of sky and a fly or two. Why, I can see half a tree. And what more do I need? The dust is thick and it's galling. It simply can't be excused. In winter, even the falling snow looks used. My window pane may not give much light, but I see you, so the view is bright. If I can love you, I'll pay the dirt no heed. With your love, what more do I need? Someone shouting for quiet, someone starting a brawl. Down the block there's a riot, but I'll buy it all. Listen now, I'm ecstatic. Hold me close and keep still. Hear the lovely pneumatic drill. A subway train thunders through the Bronx. A taxi horn on the corner honks. But I adore every roar. And what more do I need? I hear a crane making street repairs. A two-ton child running wild upstairs. Steam pipes bang, sirens clang. And what more do I need? The neighbors yell in the summer. The landlord yells in the fall. So loud I can't hear the plumber pound the wall. An aeroplane roars across the bay. I can hear you as clear as day. You said you loved me above the sound and speed. With your love, what more do I need?
Lisa Sabin. I meant it when I said I love you. Thank you. And we love Carlos. And here he is.
Well, hi there. Hi. Unity of New York family of mine that I've been so amazingly blessed to be a part of for these last couple and more decades. I'm so grateful every time I know I have an opportunity to be with you. And even though I'm not able to see you, I want you to know that I am seeing you in my heart, mind. I can picture your faces. I can see you sitting there in glad expectation of what the Spirit is leading me to bring. As you know, my talk title today is The Last Thing I Want to Do Is dot, dot, dot. I call that kind of prayer the prayer of Gethsemane. And I truly believe, no, I know in fact, that each and every one of us have had our moments of praying the prayer of Gethsemane. Each and every one of us is confronted by things that we must face. And each and every one of us is called upon to face the things that are in our face to face. Right now, in terms of the people that I know personally and intimately in my life, there is one who is praying the prayer or speaking to the Creator the words, God, the last thing I want to do is dot, 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 face this cancer that I have been diagnosed with. Another who has as their Gethsemane prayer, God, the last thing I want to do is lose my home. I have another who is praying the prayer, God, the last thing I want to do is to have my spouse divorce me. And another friend of mine is praying their Gethsemane prayer, God, the last thing I want to do is to have my children unwilling to have any more contact with me. Another of my friends speaks their Gethsemane prayer, God, the last thing I want to do is to die lonely and alone. And another of my friends prays their Gethsemane prayer, God, the last thing I want to do is to lose this job. All of us have prayed a Gethsemane prayer. One of my friends right now is praying the Gethsemane prayer, God, the last thing I want to do is have my mother die. Each and every one of us has been called upon to face what is in our face, to face. My inspiration, the source of my desire to preach this sermon, is of course based in an experience of Jesus. I refer to these kinds of prayers as Gethsemane prayers because I was introduced to it by Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has known from the get-go that he was born to die. He knew from the get-go that the purpose of his living was to teach us that life is everlasting and that we are not our bodies, that we are spirit, and that we are free. Jesus knew from the get-go that to fulfill the prophecy of his people, a Messiah must come. He must come humble, riding on a donkey and not an Arabian stallion. He must come humbly, wearing simple clothes and speaking a simple message, that the kingdom of God is within you and that the kingdom of heaven is all around you, if you have eyes to see. I am so grateful that I do have eyes to see. It astonishes me to have come to a place in the development of my Christ mind consciousness where I am blown away to experience the unspeakable experience of seeing heaven everywhere. I see a man, 6'2", walking down the street, but not alone. He's not walking straight up. His body is bent to the right, with his left shoulder higher than the right one. Upon observation, it is clear to see. He is holding the hand of a little girl. She appears to be about 2 years old and not much larger than 2 feet tall. And she is beaming at him and calling him Daddy. And I am fully convinced this is heaven. Jesus has asked us not to await for the arrival of heaven, because it is already here, available for observation. Everywhere, heaven. I see in a line of cars that I am, a woman stop her car, with all of us crawling along and hoping to get where we needed to be. But she stops and she waves a car coming in from the side road and invites them to go before her. And my body tingles all over. And my thought is, nobody can tell me this is not heaven. It is everywhere. Most people live in the consciousness of saying, I don't know what heaven is, but I do know this ain't it. The majority of people live waiting for heaven, waiting for something to happen, for them to get their dance of joy and praise on. Jesus knew from the get-go that to fulfill the scriptures, he would be turned over, that he would be whipped, that he would be tortured, and that he would be hung up to die. Why? What was God's purpose in coming up with his plan? According to God, it was to become the salvation of all humanity. The scripture says that there is a law set down before the foundations of this world, and that law is the law of karma, that what you sow, you will reap. And of course, we know that if you sow a kernel of corn, you do not reap a kernel of corn. No. You reap a stalk of corn. And upon that stalk of corn, there are many ears of corn. And each ear of corn is composed of many, 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 many kernels of corn. You always harvest and reap a multiplied version of what you sow. Well, you say, I'm not a farmer. I don't even have a garden. What has the law of sowing and reaping to do with me? It is this. The energy you output, whether positive or negative, whether light or shadow, whether helpful or hurtful, whether uplifting or down-putting, these are the seeds you are sowing. And according to the law set down before the foundations of this world, that whatever you sow, you shall also reap, multiplied. This means that every bit of negative energy that we have extended to anyone, anywhere, at any time, is in the invisible, being multiplied and prepared to return right back to us. The prophecy says that the Messiah will come, humble and filled with light, and sacrifice his own life to burn the karma of everyone who has ever lived throughout time, that the negative impact of their negative outputting would no longer be returned to them, because that cup of poison that each and every one of us has deserved to drink, he is now drinking to free all humanity, to offer them salvation. You, my sister, you, my brother, are the recipient of redemption. And so, having known all this from the get-go, Jesus finds himself in the garden at the moment where it is all about to begin. The arrest, the being spat upon and cursed, the whipping of 40 lashes of a leather braided whip that is studded with broken glass and sharp stone. It will cut his flesh to shreds. Now that he's close to it, he has an inner feeling of the terror of it all. Jesus is deathly afraid. And so he prays the Gethsemane prayer. God, it's your son. I'm compelled to tell you something about what I've signed up to do here. And what I have to tell you, Gotti, is that I don't want to go through this. The last thing I want to do is to face what is in my face, to face. And then he speaks, nevertheless, not my will, but thy own will be done. I have learned in my life to approach the throne of grace when I am facing something in my face, to face, to pray the fullness of that Gethsemane prayer. Gotti, Papa, Daddy, Baba, Abba, it's me, your son Carly, and I am compelled to tell you that the last thing I want to do is face what is in my face, to face. Deep breath into the heart chakra. Deep grounding, centering breath into my heart. Then release and speak. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the prayer for serenity It includes these words. Knowing that you, God, as Jesus said, will make all things right if I surrender to your will. Why? That I might be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. I have spoken. It is written. It is law. It is done. Amen.
What we want more than anything is to be at peace. Simply to be at peace, sweet peace, that is sponsored by our knowing that we are safe, that we are sound, and that we are protected. What we want more than silver and gold is peace. And so right now, in this moment, let us move inside our body temples. And let us breathe gently, consciously, deeply, breathing into our heart. For we have shared many times that the heart is the meeting place between who we think we are and who we really are. It is the meeting place between the temporary human expression and the eternal expression that we truly are as children, each of us, children of the living God. Let us breathe gently, deeply, consciously into the heart and make contact with the source of all peace, the source of all safety. That source, called by many names, is our Creator. And as we feel ourselves grounded and centered in an attitude of gratitude and in a consciousness of deep and purposeful expectation, let us believe, let us choose to believe, I am safe. I am protected. I can relax now. I can let go. I can let God be God in me. And we pray a prayer that we have prayed before in its fullness. It is the prayer of peace, the prayer of serenity, the prayer of knowing how I would be able to experience sweet, deep peace. And so we pray. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. Wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time. Knowing hardships are the pathway to peace. Taking this world, this sinful world, as he did, as it is, not as we would have it be, knowing that he will make all things right. If I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy here and eternally blissful with him in the world to come. I believe the spirit of peace is upon me. Amen.
In this world, I walk alone with no place to call my home. The light within still guides my hand on the rugged road through bare. Inside the love that spirit.